Look at a little bit at the Apostle Paul, and a little bit at Abraham, a little bit at Uzziah, to go full circle. Because tonight I feel like the Spirit of God wants to help us to grow in what Jesus has called us to do and be. If you're tonight, you know, I feel like there's a you know, if you haven't found your place. See, everybody has a place in the body of Christ, and if we're not careful, we think that our place, we just get saved, and we start going to church and praise God for those things. That is what it, how everything starts out. But God just didn't save you to put you in a church pew or a church chair somewhere. He saved you because He needed you. He called you into his army, and He gave you giftings. He gave you talents, and He wants you to be able to grow in those. And so tonight, if you're longing for a belonging, if you're longing for something more in your life, if you're not quite satisfied, but you can't place your finger on why you're not satisfied, if you're hungry for something deeper in the Lord, I believe that as we look at these examples in Scripture tonight, it will help you, it'll motivate you to be able to find your place. Amen? And see, the thing of the Lord is, when you find your place, it's not ever settled. Because the place of the Lord, He's not a God that's just sitting down, even though He's on His throne. He's moving. He's a God that is active. And so you'll never be able to be completely content, satisfied. You'll never be able to be in that place that you would like to be in unless you're letting God just move you along. So in Luke chapter 16, let's start reading, if you would, in the red letter words of Jesus in verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse number 10. If you're there, say amen. He that is faithful, say he must be talking about me. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you commit your trust to the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, mark it down, if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, you and I were only stewards, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. That's right. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for being here once again. Thank you for honoring the word. So we see here Jesus is, we don't have time to cover the full context here, but he's dealing with a revelation of how stewards in the world, that they're not that faithful. If you read the start of the chapter, but he talks about how the children of the world, even though they're not faithful, that they're wiser than those who are in the body of Christ. Because even though they're not faithful and they know that they're doing wrongly, they work together to take care of each other. And Jesus, even though they've done it in a wrong way, he commended them on that attribute about working together. And so if you hold that thought together, when we read these verses of Scripture, you and I, we realize that Jesus wants us to be faithful to him. And the only way we can be faithful to him is to say, Lord, what do you want me to work together with my brother? What do you want me to work together with my sister? I want to use what you've gave me, and I want to put it to work in your plan, in your will. I want to be that blessing. I want to be that guiding, directing hand in somebody else's life, that person of encouragement and all these things. And he tells us, he said, if you're faithful in the least of the things, then God's going to what? He's going to promote you. And I'm here to tell you tonight that, you are ready for promotion. You are. You're ready for promotion. And the reason why reason why blue doesn't look as bright and, blue as it really is, the reason why the sun isn't as shining, as glorious as it once did, is because you and I were looking through an old vision. And when you look through an old vision, when you sit down and what God has showed you and you fulfill that and you just sit there, all of a sudden, you can't have the joy that you used to have. You can't have the peace that you used to have because God's calling you to something greater. And so I want you to know that that I believe with all of my heart that you've been faithful in those things that maybe other people didn't seem that it was important, that other people didn't even notice. God did. God saw it. He wrote it down. Those things that you done that nobody ever even seen, those prayers that you prayed in the dark, those prayers that you prayed in your prayer closet, those times that you went out of your way to do something that nobody else seen, nobody else understand, God saw it. And he said, I count you faithful. So you got to imagine, can you imagine? You walk in the church door and there's some leaves right there in the front of the church door. You pick that up, nobody sees it. God does. And you didn't pick it up for nobody else. You picked it up for the Lord. And so you got to realize that everything that you do, God, he moves on your heart to look a certain way and give a smile to somebody. That's being faithful in what the world don't understand. They call it the least of the things. But out of Scripture, we see it's the little things that make the biggest impact. Amen? And so we need to be in that place and say, okay, God, I thank you that you've let me work in certain places. I mean, I sometimes things happen in our life that the devil, he's the orchestrator of them, and he means them for harm and all of those things. But God, he's faithful. He uses those things to get us where we're supposed to be. See, when we went back to Price Grove, and we sat under Brother Kenny there and ministered faithfully on Sunday nights for 4 years, I got pretty comfortable in that. That it didn't take much effort. One message a week, and I could, and I didn't have the responsibility of anything other than doing that one message and all those things. But all that time after we had done what we were supposed to do, it was time to pick up and move on. Well, we didn't do that, but so there was problems that come. God didn't do the problems; the devil did. But God used the whole situation then to what? To promote us, to get us where we were supposed to be. In his time frame. And so if you're dealing with some things that seem a little uncomfortable, some things that seem a little, for lack of a better word, squirmy, let God go ahead and move you along in your prayer life, in your servitude, in your faith level, like he's talking about here, and see what can happen. Amen. Because with God, all things are possible. Because he said, look what he said there in verse number 12. He said, and if you've not been, but say, I have been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? God's wanting to give you something new because you're doing what you're supposed to do. You need to tell the devil, keep your hands off my finances. In the name of Jesus, God told me to give, I give. You're a giving group of people. Whatever you can do, you do it. And you don't do it grudgingly, but you do like the Bible says, you are a cheerful giver. You know what the word cheerful there is, don't you? It's where we get our English word hilarious. That's amazing that we can give with laughter because we know that we're giving it to God. So in other words, so you've gave some things out of your heart. You've gave in some cases even in excess. And as you've done that, you need to be in the place and say, okay, I've gave. Now, God, what do you want to give me that is my own out of this? In other words, what happened? How did we get this church? We got this church because some of us got together and we said, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to plant a church. And so we put money together. Remember, Brother Larry, we put money together and we planted a church in India. And all of a sudden, what happened? It was just a matter of months until this building come up, become available. And God said, I want you to go there. How did it come available? It was a seed. See, faithfulness, when you're faithful in that which seems like is the least, that's when God says, I'm ready to promote you. I'm ready to move you to the next place. Now, go with me and let's look at what is said about Paul. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I want you to see something here where Paul is talking about Jesus calling him. Look at verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. The Greek word is empowered. He has empowered me. Why did Jesus empower Paul? For he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Wow. Paul says, the power that I've got in my life today. Now think about it. Paul went and he would preach the word. Brother Larry could agree with me on this. He went to Lystra and he's just preaching the word. And he preaches the word and faith comes and a lame man just jumps up and walks. That's power. Come on now, that because why? Now think about it. He went from somebody who was holding the coats where they were stoning Stephen. He went from someone that was putting men and women and children in jail for serving Jesus to serving the Lord himself. And he done it so faithfully that wherever he preached, people got saved. They got born again. He gets in a shipwreck and he goes to an island and he gets there on the island and the viper is going to try to stop the ministry. What does he do? He shakes the viper off. Remember? Come out of the fire and attached itself to it because he was empowered by Jesus. He was faithful. He started out and he kept growing and growing and growing and growing until one day he had fulfilled everything God had for him to do and he gladly gave his life as a martyr. And he's waiting on what? He's waiting on all the family of God, you and I, to come back together. So he said out of his own mouth that Jesus counted him faithful in the ministry. See, you've got to see that you've got a ministry. And that's where we're going to end up tonight when we close. We're going to see that you and I, we've got to find out what our ministry, what our office in the Lord is, what our gifting is, what our talent is. And don't rest on what we knew about yesterday. Don't rest on what we understand of the past, but recognize and realize that God is always moving us forward. He's grabbing us by the hand. He's holding our heart. He's speaking words that build faith and that he's bringing truth into us that loose us to be able to do all of these things that once were impossible. Isn't that exciting? It doesn't have to be boring to be a Christian. Come on, that's one of the biggest ploys of the devil. Boy, it's so much fun to be in the world. Well, it was for a season. But it's so much fun to be in Jesus because there's no limitation. You can do all things. That's what the Bible says. All things are possible to the person that believes. I've never had the world tell me I can do anything. But Jesus says, I can do all things. You can do all things. So there's no use in you and I sitting back and going, well, I'm going to wait and let somebody else do it. No, Lord, use me. Come on, let's make ourselves available. And as we make ourselves available, he's going to show us what he has for us. Look what it says in verse 13. Paul said, before I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Aren't you glad that Jesus looks at us and he says all of those things that we done wholeheartedly before him, he's not only going to forgive us for them, but he knows that even as Paul had that attitude and that faithfulness in the Jewish religion, how much more he was going to turn it to Christianity? How much more he was going to be faithful in grace? And so you and I, those things that we used to do, we can turn that and use that personality, that attitude for the work of the Lord. Amen. That's exciting to us. Now look what he says, verse 14. He said, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So by God's grace, I'm saved, yes. But also by God's grace, this abundance that's in my life, I can do whatever ministry he gives me. Isn't that something? I mean, I look back and I think about you know, as God laid it on my heart to start that the young adults class there at Price Grove. What if Don and I hadn't done that? Where would we be tonight? See, it was an option. God wasn't going to make us do it, but it kept coming up, and we had a pastor who was seeing gifts and callings and wanted us to move forward and all those things. And I thank the Lord for Brother Kenny in that situation so much. And so, you know, we don't know what God has in store. So if God is putting something on your heart, just say, Lord, I hear it. I receive it. I see that vision. And I'm going to let the grace of God make it possible. I'm afraid in my own life that I'm holding God back because I'm not trusting Him enough. I want to trust Him. I want to see that there's no limitation in Him. Like, I'm trying to wrap my mind around how God's going to take care of all these kids on the angel tree. Because in my mind, I don't see how it's possible. Not this little group of people, but once again, we're not our source. God's our source. And so I want to get the limits off. I want to get the walls down. And I want to say, Lord, if you send them, then you got to make a way for it. And He can. He will. Amen. We've got to believe that. And so let's don't hold back. Let's give everything we've got to the Lord. Now, let's look at Abraham. Go with me to Genesis 22. We're just going to hit a few high points tonight. I won't hold you, but just a little bit. And I think you'll really be encouraged when you leave here. We know the story of Abraham very well, but let's look at where God's getting ready to promote Abraham. Are you ready to go higher in the Lord? So before you can go higher, you've got to be in the place where you hear what God's saying and you're willing to get uncomfortable. Are you willing to get uncomfortable? See, so much of my life, I told the Lord, I don't want to be uncomfortable. I'm pretty well satisfied right here, but I wouldn't. It's like, if you ever notice when you're out of the perfect will of God, it's kind of like sitting on a tack. It's kind of like having a rock in your shoe. I mean, you can put up with it, but you can't ever find that place where you can rest good. It's like being down in your back. You know, you move around all over the bed trying to find that place. You can't find it. And so this is what we've got to see, that God is going to call us into a place of promotion, but we got to be willing to take that call and put it into practice. Genesis 22:1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, that's the King James Version, and that's a bad translation because we know what James 1:13 says. James 1:13 says, God does not tempt any man. That man is tempted. I tempt myself. So we understand that. So this word should be translated test. Test. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through testings. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Now, this ought to encourage you and I so much. Think about it. This is under the old covenant. You and I were under the new covenant. Abraham is walking, living his life, and God just calls his name one time and immediately he hears him. That's under the old covenant. You and I were the sheep of the Lord's pasture. He said that he calls us by name. And we hear him. He said he will lead us to new pasture. He calls us to lay down beside the still waters. All those promises of Psalms 23 and John chapter 10, they're available to us. But even more so because we've got the Holy Spirit that's talking inside of us. Just one word, Abraham. And he said, here I am. So tonight you need to be in the place where you have an assurance that if God's talking to you, you can hear him. Don't let the devil scare you. Don't let him tell you that you're either not hearing or you can hear or you're misunderstanding. No, those are lies. God don't mumble. I do sometimes. God don't. God don't stutter. God talks plain. He talks clear. And he talks in a voice that you understand yourself intimately. That's a voice of love. Verse number 2. And he said, God said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac. Now remember what Isaac means? Remember? Isaac means laughter. Take the thing that brought the joy to you. See, we're talking about if you're going, Jesus said, if you're faithful in that which is least, you're going to be faithful then when that's just much. So he's done showed how faithful he was in this walk with the Lord, but God is ready to promote him. He's ready to show him that he's faithful in even in the things that he didn't think that he could be faithful in. Oh, come on, let that sink in just for a second. You can be faithful in the next thing that God's wanting to speak to you. I don't care how big it looks. I don't care how hard it seems to the flesh. You can, because God knows you. He knows where you're at. He knows what you can do. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, the laughter of your life. Take Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now, Moriah means chosen and seen of or by God. And if you look in Matthew chapter 27, down about verse 33 in there somewhere, you see this is where Jesus was crucified. And this is in this mountain range, in these mountain ranges here. So you can just imagine here, this is the type and the shadow of the Old Testament that's concealed, that is revealed in the New Testament. Amen. So he said, I want you to go to that land of Moriah. Now notice what he said. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, I don't know about you, but this tells me a lot about the relationship that God had with Abraham. And it convicts me. Because I'm just going to bear my heart with you, and just like I always do, I got to be honest with you because I want you to trust me. I want you to believe me. God could have never gave me this whole sentence. I'm sorry. Here's what God, if God had been talking to me, here's what he would have said. Because see, God knows, and he only will say to us what we can hear. He'll say, he said, Abraham, and I said, behold, here I am. He said, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and go to the land of Moriah. And he'd have stopped right there. Come on, you may not have a problem with that, but God knows if he told me the rest of the story, I couldn't have handled it. If God had told me that I was going to have to go on this big journey where I went when we started the walk with the Lord, I don't know if I would have been as quick to say yes to all the things. When your Christian walk, as glorious as it is and as great as it is, you've had problems. I've had problems. Come on, the closer you get to the Lord, the more the devil attacks and all of these things. And we weigh back and forth, you know, how much do I want to deal with? What do I want to, how far do I really want to go? I mean, if we would be honest with one another. And so, anyway, so you see the relationship that God had with Abraham. He doesn't just give him a little bit of the information. And so this makes me hungry to be able to yield to the Lord and to be able to grow and trust the Lord, because I want God to be able to tell me more, don't you? And it's there. It's possible for us. He said, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Now, no hesitation. Isn't that something? So this is a faith builder. This is showing that Abraham, Paul calls him in Romans chapter 4, the father of faith. And so you and I, we can see that if we will allow ourselves, we can get in this same place, this place of intimacy, this place of relationship with God. It's available to us. We won't go into all of this. We know what Abraham did. He went and he done exactly what God told him to do. But I want you to drop down and verse 13 for sake of time. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. This is after he done lifted up the knife to slay his son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So, in other words, when God tested, he didn't tempt him, when he tested Abraham come out of this in a situation of pure faith. He come out in a situation of trusting the Lord, and he showed himself, God doesn't know it, but he showed himself he was ready for promotion. See, God wants to show you tonight that you're ready for promotion. See, God can't promote you until you really believe it. You've got to really believe it. And so God didn't do this to hurt Abraham or anything. He did it to show Abraham himself that God was able and God was working in his life and he believed it. See, you don't know what you believe in God until you go through things. Sister Johnny, right now you're standing on faith about a lot of things. But your faith is growing. You're getting stronger and stronger. And you're seeing that God is who he says he is. God will do what he said he will do. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham here. And so all of a sudden he gets to the place of promotion. Now notice what it says, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. So this Mount Moriah place, this place that was select and chosen by God, all of a sudden Abraham is able to rename it to the place that God will provide. See, this is amazing. That all through your life, if you'll look, you went through trials and situations, you went through circumstances, and when God showed up and showed himself faithful and you were ready for promotion, all of a sudden the name of that place changed. You know, maybe you went through a sickness. Maybe you went through a financial hardship. Maybe you went through an attack in your body or on your mind or in your family. But as God brought you through that, it went from what the devil called it. It went from what it looked and felt like in the flesh. You got a new name. It got a name that was from heaven. It got a name that meant everything to you about deliverance, about victory, about peace. Amen. And so we got to see that I've got to be faithful in these little things. And when I'm faithful in them, God is going to promote me. He's going to promote you. Now, look what it says in verse 16. By thyself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and has not withheld thy son, thy only son, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In other words, Christ is coming through this lineage. And Isaac is that type of Christ. And because Christ has come through that lineage, you and I, we are sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. And so I want you to think about that just for a moment. Because of his act of obedience and his promotion in the plan of God, and then him being taken from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that makes it so available to what God wants to do for us. It's that type, that shadow, that pattern for teaching. So the thing that looks like it's going to cost us the most is what looses the blessing from heaven. The thing that looks like it's going to be the hardest to live with is actually the seed that brings the greatest blessing from heaven into our lives. Amen? And so we got to hold on to that. We've got to trust that. I'd like to share some things with you that, but if it's just about me, it's okay. But when it gets too personal about other people, but I want you to know that God will take you back to the place that you need to be, that you can redo what you messed up, where what got out of place can get back in place. And that's what God done with me. He brung Don and I back full circle. What got out of place, we got put back together, and then we got to move on. That's the kind of God we serve, amen? So you have hope tonight. Okay, now, real quick, I want you to look at 2 Chronicles. Let's look at Uzziah, and we're just going to go back to the New Testament in a moment and close this thing up. We're going to show you how to believe God for some things. But go to 2 Chronicles 26, and let's look at Uzziah, verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 26, 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old. And the number 16 in Bible numerics means love. So he was in a place, in a position of love. And made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth, and he restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16-year-old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned, notice this, 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecholalah of Jerusalem. And all of this is just to lay a foundation. Stay with me, just another verse or two. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So he's 16 years old. He's a child, but he's a child that loves. He loves God. And so tonight, you love God. You wouldn't be out here on this cold night if you didn't love the Lord. And so because you love the Lord, I want you to know that God is looking at your life. And as he looks at your life, he sees what you're doing. He sees what you're thinking, what you're saying. And even though the devil would try to trip us up and get us out of step with the Lord, God is pleased with you. Don't let the devil get you on a guilt trip about anything. You're walking and living by grace. Come on. That grace is what saves you. That grace is what's going to keep you. And Jesus said, as we walked in this world, we're going to get our feet dirty. But he's got a provision to take care of all that. Amen. So don't even worry about that. You just say everything that you're doing. I know that God's watching. You don't do it out of fear. You do it out of anticipation. Because God's like a father that's looking. He's wanting to wrap his arm around you and say, well done. I'm proud of you. Come on, there's nothing more important than you know, if somebody looks and they see what you're doing and they're pleased with it. Well, you've got to live your life like that. And so that's what Uzziah is doing. Now look what happens. Verse 5, and he sought God. You and I, all we've got to do, if we want to be promoted in the things of God, we've just got to show him that we're interested. Seek the Lord. Just ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do about this situation? You know, you may be around just one person. You may be around nobody. But when God is involved in your life, if you're around 100 people or nobody, it is an opportunity either for you and the Lord to get closer or for the Lord to use you to bless people, to bring instruction. Just seek the Lord. Just say, Lord, what's my life all about? Right now, you know, we got all these young babies and we got these mothers and you know, they need to see that revealing Jesus to these babies, that's the most important thing. That's the time right now that they need to seek the Lord and say, Lord, how can I show my child Jesus? How can I reveal your love? How can I reveal your plan to him? And all of these things. Just be concentrating on that. Remember those things that the devil says it isn't important. Why has he tried to destroy mothers? Come on. I mean, he's tried to emasculate dads. But he's tried to destroy the role of the mother because the devil hates family. He hates relationships. He wants to destroy all that. But here you see that Uzziah, he looked at his dad and he saw that godly example and he sought the Lord. Now look what happens. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, that's the day of the prophet, who had understanding and visions of God. Now look at this. As long as he sought the Lord, mark this down in your Bible. God made him to prosper. You and I were not meant to sit still. You can't prosper staying in one place. You've got to be, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to touch? What can I do in this life? This is the day that the Lord has made. You know, what do you want me to do in this day? I want to seek you in it. I want to be promoted in my own life, but I want to promote somebody else. But the way I'm promoted in my life, the way I promote somebody else is first I lift up Jesus. I promote Jesus. I want to be faithful. Like Paul said, I want the Lord to say, I see your faithfulness. And that's what he's saying about you. But you've got to believe it. When I say that, I can feel that. Some of you don't believe that. But you've got to believe it because that'll change your attitude about yourself. You can't ever be what God wants you to be until you see yourself, until you believe yourself in the way that God sees and believes in you. Oh, please. Come on now. It's the truth. Okay. So let's go to the New Testament. I want you to we're going to look at just three sets of scriptures in closing. Some things I want you to be Longing for your belonging. I want you to find your place in, because we're going to look at it's the different giftings that God has. If we're not careful, we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit and thank God for those gifts. And we need those gifts desperately. But God gives offices, and you'll never be completely at ease. You'll never be completely what God has called you to be until you find the office that you're supposed to operate in today and tomorrow and next week until the sounding of the trumpet. Amen. Okay. What did I say? Did I say in Scripture? In Ephesians chapter 4, this is after Jesus died on the cross and he ascended up into heaven. And look what it says, starting in verse 11. Ephesians 4 and 11. And he, Jesus, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. So here's the fivefold ministry office that Jesus laid out and he gave. And so thank God for these five offices. We need these five offices, but not everybody's going to be a part of these five offices. But if you are, then you need to find your calling in that, and you need to be willing to yield to that and to be able to trust the Lord in that. Now, these five offices, they have everything to do with growing up the body of Christ, because that's what this chapter is about. It teaches us how to put off the old man and put on the new man. And so if God's called you in to say the office of the teacher, then you need to yield to that. You need to trust him in that, because if you don't ever let him put you in that office, then there's going to be somebody that's not going to grow up. There's going to be somebody that's not going to learn how to put off the old man. There's going to be somebody that is going to be hurting. Amen. And so we need. This is why it's so vital, so important. And the office of a teacher is probably needed more now than ever before. Wouldn't you say, Brother Larry? As we see so much deception, and the office of a teacher it is something that is given by God. He just inspires you when you open your mouth just to say the things, and as they come out of your mouth, you don't even know they're there. But that anointing, that truth is there, so we need to yield to it. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 12, go back a couple of books, and let's look at, there's five offices there. Let's look at seven offices that's listed here, and let's try to find ourselves. In Romans 12, starting in verse number 5, it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one of another." Aren't you glad of that? I need you. You need me. We need each other. Verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith." So to be able to prophesy is the office. Because if you look up in verse number 4, it tells us that we don't all have the same office. So we know the Bible says that you and I were to covet to prophesy, because prophecy is the best gift. Because prophecy, tongues with interpretation is equivalent, is the same as prophecy. But we need to be in that place, in that position where we say, "Lord, if you want to speak through me," that to prophesy, all it means is to open up your mouth and let the Holy Spirit speak into your spirit. It'll come across your soul, and then you open your mouth and it'll come out your body. Now, God's still dealing with a body, so that means it's not going to be perfect. We're not talking about the office of a prophet. office of a prophet is, God says you can tell them that when they stand in that office, they're going to always tell just the way it is. And we've seen a lot of prophets that have been revealed not to be God's prophets of late, because of it's not held up, it's not treaded the water. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about every Christian is supposed to prophesy. So that's part of your office. That's part of your calling. And see, so many people prophesy and they don't even know it. We even prophesy for the devil and don't even know it. So, Lord, lead me into this truth. Let me be faithful. In other words, if God just tells you to go and tell somebody, hey, you need to pray about blank, about this, that's an act of prophecy because you felt it in your spirit. It come up across your soul. You let it come out your body. You went and you told them, but do it according to what? According to your proportion of faith. See, everybody wants to give these big words, and praise God for big words, but you'll never give the big word. Jesus said, remember, you're faithful in least, you'll be faithful in much. Start out with just one word. I can get in the Spirit sometimes, and I can start saying what I'm hearing the Spirit say, and everything's going good, and then I run out of faith, and I got to quit. Or there'll be a lack of faith that'll hit me in the face, and it'll stop my faith, and that's it. I just have to quit right there. See, it's always not the preacher's fault. I've stopped a lot of preachers in my ignorance and didn't know it because I cut them off. They cut Jesus off. He said, I have much to say to you, but you cannot hear it. Okay. Verse 7. He said, our ministry... Let us wait on our ministry. So, in other words, ministry is simply, it means to put your hand to the work of the Lord. See, we think ministry is behind the pulpit. Very little to do with anything of what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about ministry is just when you put your hand to the plow, you put your heart to the will of God, to the work of God, and you wait on it. You start something that God puts you in a vision or in a flow of, and then the devil, he may try to stop you, he may try to hinder it, but you wait on it. Don't stop because problems come. Don't stop because situations arise. No, I'm going to wait. This is what God told me. I'm not going to do anything else till I hear something else. That's where we get in trouble. Amen? Okay. Or he that teacheth on teaching, verse 8, he that exhorteth on exhortation. You're called into the office of being able to exhort people. Wow. You mean you can take somebody from a level of hopelessness, a level of confusion, a level of despair, and you can exhort them. You can lift them up by the word of God. We're talking about when God calls you into that office. And if you notice in people's lives, people who are continually in a certain situation, they're usually in that situation because they're not obeying the office. See, if I don't do what God calls me to do and I stay over here in this one place, that's where I battle the worst demons. Because how I'm supposed to be helping somebody else is how the devil hinders me. Amen? Now notice this. He that giveth, here's an office. This is what y'all are so good at. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Y'all do that. So just think, every time y'all give like you do, you're fulfilling your office. Oh, that just pleases the Lord so much. And remember, because he said if you're faithful in that which is least, you're going to be faithful in that which is much, and then he's going to give you something that is your own. In other words, we're all stewards, but what he's wanting to take us from stewardship to ownership, because the Bible says I'm an heir of God. And a joint heir with Jesus. When I become a good, faithful steward, that's when I'm starting to be able to authorize my ownership. Is this too deep? See, God's got so much more for us than we're living by lower means. All right. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. Now, see, this is the hardest part for me. I don't like to make decisions for my own self, let alone make decisions that influence other people. But you and I, we've got to see that there's certain times we've got to make a stand. And people may not always like it. But if you're walking in love and if you're honest, they'll respect you. Amen. I'd rather somebody respect me than to have, we know what I'm trying to say. So just rule with diligence. Rule with that diligence. It simply means to be steadfast, to be true in it, to use speed in doing what God called you to do. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy is an office. Have you ever seen somebody who, it didn't matter what's happening, they've got something bad to say about everybody? I mean, it didn't matter who it is. They could find something wrong with Billy Graham. They could find, you know, fill in whoever. They could find something wrong with the most loved person on the planet. Well, why is that? Because they're not operating in that office and in that place of rebellion. The devil is just piling, heaping coals on their head. And all of a sudden, all they can see is the negative part. I'm talking about how to find your place tonight. I'm talking about how to long for a belonging, how to come into a place that only God has for you. All right, closing, go back to 1 Corinthians and over a couple of books here. And let's look at starting at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now ye are, present tense, the body of Christ, and members in particular. Verse 28. And God has set some in the church. Say, I'm in the church. First apostles, because an apostle founds the church. God uses them to set up a church. When you and I come here and set up this church, that made us apostles. Because that is a founding of a new work in the Lord. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. These are repeating some of these things. But here's these eight offices. And after that, miracles. Now just think, God has called you. He has called you at different times in your life, me in different times of our life, to be a miracle worker. You're saying, well, now, wait a minute. I believe he's called somebody, but I don't believe he's called me. Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. You shall lay hands on the sick, number five, the last one, and they shall what? That's a miracle. The first sign you shall cast out, that's a miracle. So every one of us has been called into this office, but if we're not operating in this office, maybe we're not satisfied. Maybe we're not too happy. Maybe we're not growing as we should. Getting quiet in here. Then gifts of healings. Did you notice that's plural? Both Greek words, and they've got it right in the King James. Gifts, plural, of healings. Helps. Helps. Some of the greatest ministers in the body of Christ is those who are in the office of help. Brother David, you're in the office of help. That you found yourself faithful. Brother Larry, Sister Shirley, office of help. Sister John, everyone in here, y'all are in the office of help. Because you do whatever you see needed to be done in the church, you do it. That is the office of help. And so God said that when you and I are faithful in our office, that he would what? He would grow that office. So you need to see that God sees your faithfulness in that, and he's wanting to grow that. In other words, he's wanting to make it easier as you operate in your office, not harder. Because when you start doing something, at first it makes you sore, it makes you tired, right? In body, sometimes in mind, depending on what you're doing. But God's wanting to grow it. He's wanting to make it easy for you because you're trusting in him. Okay. Governments. We need this desperately in the church. We need church order. We need people in positions who have wisdom by the Holy Spirit to keep things in line. Diversities of tongues. Aren't you glad? So there's eight offices listed. You can mark it down in your mind's eye. He says in verse 29, are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? No. That's why God puts together this many-membered body, because not everybody's going to operate in the same office at the same time, because that's silly. I don't need two left arms. You don't need two right legs. You know what I mean? So God knows what He's doing. But so within the body of Christ, if you see an area inside your church that's not prospering like you know it could and like you know it should, then if you're seeing that, the first thing you need to do is pray about it. And then the second thing you need to do after you prayed about it, see if God is calling you into that place to make it better. Because God don't show people things unless He's wanting them to either build it up in prayer, or He's wanting to use them in that direction. Now, in my life, God will show me something, and I'll think about it, and then I'll start, like you said this morning, Brother Donnie, I'll start second-guessing myself. I'll start thinking about it, and as I think about it, I'll talk myself out of the revelation. I go, well, no, we can't do that. We got to put this where it would be. Amen. All right. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But now when he says speak with tongues here, he's talking about in a church setting, because every believer that is filled with the Holy Ghost can speak with tongues. So that's not what he's saying there. He's talking about the ministry of tongues and interpretation. Verse 31, in closing, he said, but covet earnestly the best gifts, those best offices, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And of course, that's when he takes us in to the love chapter. So when we really have our love perfected, fear is gone, fear of flesh, self, fear of the enemy, but then a hunger and a desire to let God use us. Amen. I want God to use us. I want this community to go, I don't know how that little church is doing what they're doing. It has to be Jesus. Amen. It has to be the Lord. And so the only way that's going to happen is that you and I, we're going to have to hook up together like never before. We're going to have to get stronger in the will and the plan of the Lord, and find that place that God is calling us into. Right now, we've got some people that they're backing up and they're letting the devil trick them about what they really want in life, about what they really believe or what they really understand. And they're settling for some things in the world, which is not wrong unless it separates them from what God's called them to do. And so you and I need to be praying for one another. We need to be an inspiration to one another. Come up and put your arm around your brother and sister when you see them, and tell them, say, hey, I'm praying for you. And God's got better things for you. God, I need you, and God needs you. Put some encouragement in their life, because I've never seen such a time where people have just sat down because of discouragement. Come on, anybody battle discouragement? So it's a real thing, and so we need to be in that place, in that position. So I want you to think about this in closing. There was a man. He said, what he liked to do was to really get people comfortable. And when he got them really comfortable, then he could find out where they were at. And so, he said he'd be with this person maybe for an hour or so. And, you know, he said when he'd get with them, he'd take his jacket off, or he'd untuck his shirt, or you know, and he'd get them something to drink. And, you know, and they'd be talking about the weather, talking about some kind of sports or whatever. And he said he would get them relaxed, and said then at the right moment, he'd look them right in the eye and he'd say, what's your purpose in life? And it would shake them up. He said, I've sat down with the president of Coca-Cola, the CEO of IBM, different high-end men and women in high-end positions. And he said, I've looked them in the eye and asked them that question and said, I've had them break down and cry. Because they'd say, I don't know. But he said, one time God turned the tables on him. He said he was with this one guy. He didn't know who this guy was. And he went through this same thing and said, he looked him right in the eye and he said, what's your purpose in life? And he said, that guy without blinking an eye, he looked at me and he said, to go to heaven in the name of Jesus and take as many people with me as I can. He said, that just solidified in me. He said that everybody can find their longing. They can find what they're meant to do. They can find their longing and belonging. That's what we've got to do. You got to realize your life is not just this X number of years here. Thank God for it. But this is just seed for the greatest thing in the world. I mean, it's going to be so amazing. We can't even understand how great it is. Can you imagine how great it is to be in the presence of Jesus in a glorified body? Oh, And you know, we've heard testimonies about people who've went to heaven, and you know, whether you believe it or not, but I've heard testimonies where they said they would walk on the flowers, and as they went to take a step, this flower would move this way and this flower would move that way. They never squished a flower because they're alive. And they said the colors, it ain't something that you just see. It's something that you can feel. And the smell of the flowers and the apple blossoms and the fruit trees said it ain't something that you can just smell. It's something that just you can literally just almost partake of by just being in their presence. In other words, you and I, we're so limited. So let's don't get caught up in this little short amount of time. Let's live it fully for God and let's let God show us what our purpose is and be completely satisfied in Him. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this wonderful group of people. Lord, to the best of my ability, Lord, I've brought this out of my heart. I ask that you help me take it and apply it in my life. I ask that you help my brothers and sisters take it and apply it. Show us tonight every area that you would have us to step out and be like the Apostle Paul, where we can be found faithful, where we can be like Abraham, where we can sow that thing that seemingly is the most important to us, but we realize that you had six more children. So, no, you had six more boys for Abraham to birth. He done had two, but when he was willing to give the one, you gave him six more. And then you gave him daughters. Lord, help us to see that you've got, that we can never outgive you, that you've got more things for us, that you can rebuke the devourer and give us more time. You can give us whatever we need as long as we're in that office. Lord, let us be in that office. Tonight, let every person come up to a new place of promotion in you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Would you come tonight and make yourself